Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, my mind's a little bit conflated this morning because I get up in the morning and I prepare a show, try to prepare a show for us. And right at the end of this morning, I watched a video. I think Jeff sent it to me. I don't know. Jeff Nares, I think, sent it to me. I'm not sure. If it wasn't you, Jeff, I apologize. From Russell Brand. You guys know who Russell Brand is? I mean, some of you would know him. Some of you probably don't know him. He's a lefty. He's about a lefty as you can get. Not even an American citizen, but he put together the most unbelievable. I watched it. It was about, I think it was 12 or 14 minutes. And it really is pretty powerful. In fact, I'm going to try to dig. I hate when I get things over Messenger because I don't know how to share them with other people. I don't know how to copy them. I'm kind of a tech nerd here in a lot of ways. But watching that video really, really impacted me today. And my mindset, not impacted my life, but impacted my mind as to what I want to talk about today. And ultimately, my friends, I got a lot on the table. Stay with me. Ultimately, the battle we're facing today is a battle over truth. I know I say that a lot, but I really want to zero in on that. So one of the real bulwarks or bedrocks of our American system of government, of way of life, one of the bulwarks was, thou shalt not lie. Now, again, we know this. It doesn't say thou shalt not lie. It says thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. And we've construed that to lie. And I talked about that the other day, and some of you are upset with me because I said there are times when you can lie. You can lie to protect, friends. Not lie to protect yourself from doing something nefarious, but I can certainly lie to protect my wife. If somebody comes and knocks on my door and they got knives coming out, holding knives in their teeth, and they're looking for women to rape, and they ask me if my wife is home, if I say yes, what is wrong with me? I would certainly lie to say that my wife wasn't home to protect her, right? And we could run through 1,000 scenarios. You should never bear false witness against your neighbor. In other words, don't lie if it's going to damage your neighbor. Can you lie to protect your neighbor? Folks, all of the Ten Commandments, every one of them are protective. Now, we can use them as rules to follow if we want to, but God gave us every one of those Ten Commandments because they protect us. Not only do they protect us, they protect others. Can you pull that up there real quick, Spence, real quickly? I didn't know I was going to go there. Just pull the Ten Commandments up there. And if we would look at that as protection rather than restrictions, can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. God's no fun. Told you all these things you can't do. No. The Ten Commandments are for protection. I'm the Lord your God, brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Why? Because if you have him as the one true God, he will protect and cover you. Cover a nation, cover a family, cover a community. He's saying, listen, you want to stay safe, you want to stay protected, I'm the Lord. Just get behind me, all right? Second commandment, you shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness, anything. Talking about graven images. Why? Same purpose. And see, we've got all kinds of idols in America. I walk in your house. I'm not making fun of it because you walk in my house. And there's the Buckeyes. And there's the Browns. There's the Bengals. All these other things. Now, they seem to be innocent, and they are innocent. But anything that exalts itself against God is not innocent. It is damaging. What do you mean? Oh, yeah. Eventually, if you like football, you'll find yourself not taking your son to church on Sunday because he has his bitty football game. Somebody say amen out there, right? So the purpose of the second commandment as well is protective. Listen, don't get wrapped up in all these false gods and false deities because they're going to steal your heart. Somebody give me a thumbs up.
Amen.
You've never looked at it this way before, right? Right?
Amen, coach.
And thank you, dear. And the third one, you shall not take the name of your Lord, your God in vain. Now, folks, listen, that doesn't mean don't cuss. Oh, my goodness. I hear people say all the time, well, J.C. Damn it. Here, and they say, oh, he's not very Christian. He swears. No, you know what it means to swear? To swear means to do something, say you're going to do something and not do it. That's what swearing is. It's not words. It says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Vain means for emptiness, for no purpose. Yes, I get offended when I hear people say GDJC. Yeah, I get offended. But I get just as offended when I see pastors close down their churches during COVID. They're taking the name of the Lord in vain for no purpose, without the power. He said, don't do that. Don't you dare associate my name with your feeble faith. You see what he's saying? Protective, friends. And what are we serving in America? Well, we serve fear. Why? Because we take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We don't believe he's who he says. We don't believe who he is, who he says he is. We don't believe he'll do what he says he'll do. And he said, if you continue to take my name in vain, it's protective. It's protective. I said through the whole thing with little Declan, he's fearfully and wonderfully made. You know why, Betty? Because the Lord told me he was. The Lord told me he's fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't need some doctor to tell me. You get it, folks? God's laws are protective. And the fourth one, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord. Now, listen. It's about rest. Believe it or not, Sabbath is for you and me to rest. To rest from the affairs of the world. To rest from it. Now listen, we can make it legalistic if we want to. We can. But we put Christ at the center of the Sabbath. Can I say this openly and honestly? I believe the Sabbath is Saturday. I believe it's Saturday. I believe the Luciferians pulled a trick on us and has got all of American Christendom celebrating Sunday as the Sabbath. I don't think it is. I think Saturday is the Sabbath. Okay, there, I came clean on. That's what I think. But the purpose of it, just go ahead and read it. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all is in it, and rested on the seventh day. So if the Lord rests, you need to rest. That's how I read the fourth commandment. Am I doing okay here? These are all protective. Every one of these things so far. See, if the Lord was mean, he would say, work double hard on Sunday. Work twice as hard. Get your kids out there and have them mow and pull flowers and, you know, pick weeds. Get them all out there. No. He says you need to rest. You need to rest. And you need to rest where? In me. So then I try to explain to everybody that the first four commandments, hey, Spencer, can you find a picture of the Ten Commandments? I mean, a real picture. Not that these are the two stones beside each other. I know you can because you're quick on the draw. They're right there. Pull that one up. Any of them, pull them up. Look, they've on the true Ten Commandments, there's four. The first four are on one. There are six on the other. Why? Because the first four have to do with your relationship with the Lord. All of them have to do with your relationship with the Lord. Look, there's one, Spencer, right there in the middle. Click on that one. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four, five, six. Why? Because the first four commandments have to do with your relationship with the Lord. And the second six commandments have to do with your relationship with your fellow man. Okay? Get that in your head. It's important. There's two aspects to this. Spencer, go back to the written part of you, Kuba. So the first four said, you're going to be safe if you abide in the shadow of the Almighty and you do these four things. Don't make any, no other gods before me. Don't make any images or anything. Don't hang. We don't have an Ohio State Buckeye sign in our living room. No, we don't. And if we did, it certainly wouldn't be above the cross. Don't take the name of your Lord, your God, for no purpose. Doesn't have anything to do with cussing. And then remember the Sabbath, they'd rest on it. God wants to protect us, right? Okay, so then he goes, says, let's protect each other. So the first four want to protect our relationship with the Lord. And then the next six want to protect our relationship with our fellow man. So what do they say? Honor your father and mother. There's a reward to it, by the way. It doesn't say love your mom and dad. That's why I have such great respect for Gary up in New York. He's honoring his father. Gary's given up his life to take care of his dad. Honor your father and your mother, that your days might be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you, right? Huh? It's taking care of those we love and honor our parents, and we take care of them. It's biblical. It's what we're supposed to do. It's protective, right? Number six, you shall not murder. Why? It's protective. It's protective. Number seven, shall not commit adultery. Why? Do you have any idea how many lives get ruined by adultery? Marriages break up, families destroyed, children get unruly. Why? Well, it's protective. Don't commit adultery. Don't have a relationship, an intimate relationship with a woman you're not married to or a man you're not married. Don't do that. Don't do that. Why? It's protective. Number seven, you shall not steal. Why? Because the Lord doesn't want you to have stuff? Well, he doesn't want me to take it from Betty. He wants me to steal it from Tracy. Tracy wants to give it to me. That's up to her, but I don't have any right to go steal it. So that commandment protects all of us. Don't steal. By the way, there used to be a punishment for that, didn't there? Used to be a punishment for that. There also used to be a punishment for adultery, didn't there? And there used to be a punishment for murder, didn't there? Used to be. Yeah. And who's whittling away at all those? Well, government is. Get there in a minute. How about this? You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Doesn't say lie. And why? You don't want to say something about your neighbor that is not true if your goal is to harm them. What did my mom say? Sometimes it's better to say nothing at all. Right? Don't even speak it. It's gossip. Ooh. Raise your hand if you're guilty this morning of having gossiped. I'm watching. I see all of you today, right? Why? Because gossip is destructive. It's protection, right? And then the 10th one, don't covet. The American system of government is nothing but coveting. Take from one and give it to another. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's legalized coveting. So we're in the mess that we're in because, number one, we haven't taught our children the Ten Commandments. We don't teach it anymore. The courts told us to pull them down. How about that one, right? Supreme Court, Stone versus Graham, 1980. Believe it or not, the judge said the goal of the Ten Commandments, I'm paraphrasing, the goal of the posting of the Ten Commandments would be to cause the children to read them, believe them, venerate them, and follow them. Believe it or not, that's what they said. Can't have people following the Ten Commandments, right? So one of the biggies in there is, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Would you all put your thumb in the air and say, that's all American politics is. That's all it is, bearing false witness against your neighbor. That's all it is. So the whole system gets destroyed. I was thinking this morning, I watched the Russell Brand interview, a thing that he did, and Russell Brand, who's a flaming liberal, came to the realization that everything about remember Russiagate? You guys remember Russiagate 4 years ago? Russell Brand has come to the realization that every bit of that was a lie. All of it was a lie. And now Joe Biden is president of the United States because everything they said about Trump was a lie. And where do you go? Like my mom said to me one time, you have to behave, Dave, because where do you go to get your reputation back? And when I went through our battle with the ACLU, my wife and I, they destroyed my reputation. Where do I go to get it back? Who do I go to? Oh, you say, well, coach, you go sue them in court. Well, yeah, and they'll pay damages for having defamed you. But people still believe it. Do I get the same retractions in the newspaper? I had headlines about me. Do I get any retractions saying, oh, we were wrong? we were wrong. No. So I don't know how I got on this other than it's critical. That's why I got on it. We don't stand for truth anymore. We don't. And we don't defend the truth when the other side is right. By the way, the devil's never right. Never right. He is a liar and the father of lies. The Bible says there is no truth in him. Think about that, folks. If the devil tells the truth, it's a lie. It's crazy that sounds. Why? There's no truth in him. He's incapable of telling the truth. You understand that? He's incapable of it. That's the battle. That's what we're fighting against. Because there's no truth, we don't even. The system forces us to lie. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Said, boy, you nailed it again, coach. The system forces us to lie. But wait a minute. Fifth Amendment says we don't have to. You don't have to be a witness against yourself. Sitting down, did you know that when you sign your tax return, you waive your Fifth Amendment rights to be a witness against yourself? Think about it a second. How does the tax system work? At the end of the year, the IRS says, hey, by the way, send us in. Let us know all the money you made and the way you spent it all. And then at the bottom of the letter, the bottom of it, sign your letter swearing that we're allowed to come and look at all these records. That's what, you know, that's the way that system works, right? If they wanted to do a income tax, what they would do is, Larry, they'd send you a bill every year. They'd send you a bill. When I don't go to McDonald's and then I tell them how much I owe. They tell me how much I owe. But in the system that we have that they call voluntary compliance, well, it isn't voluntary, because if you don't do it, they come after you, right? So in the system, folks, are you picking up what I'm laying down? Do you understand how the devil has convoluted everything that we're doing in America today? Why should I have to file income tax? Let's say it was legal, which it isn't. The income tax system was legal, which it isn't. Let's say it was. Did you ever anywhere? Somebody comes in, they're going to dig us a pond over here in a couple of weeks. Am I just going to send the guy money? Or is he going to send me a bill? Well, why can't the government send me a bill? Well, they can't send me a bill because they don't know how much money I have made, right? But what's Fifth Amendment say? Protects me against what? Being a witness against myself. And so I'd say to the feds, hey, tell me how much I owe you and I'll pay it. But I ain't telling you how much I owe you. Do you see it, folks? Do you see the mindset that we're in? See how it works? It's a trap. Go ahead, Larry. I know this is near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, going back to your deal about there's no truth in the devil. Now, folks, realize the devil has scripture in him. The devil uses scripture.
Oh, he sure does.
Yes, he uses it out of context and incompletely. If you leave a little bit out, your scripture has turned into a lie.
Well, that's crazy. That's true, though, Larry. It's all a matter of context is everything, isn't it? Isn't it? Okay, so I just had to get that off of me today, because the battle that we're facing is over truth. Now, folks, look at the what's going on in Arizona with the election. Clearly, what I see yesterday, 257,000 votes that they have no chain of command. Now, friends, wouldn't both sides want it, to be honest? Wouldn't both sides want it to be honest? But you know what we're seeing? Neither side wants it to be honest. The Republicans don't want it to be honest either. Why? Because they've been cheating too. They all cheat. And then they tell us that we have a republic. Okay, I'm going to move on because I think it's germane. I want to tie it together. Spencer, pull up Matthew 11. We're at war, friends. We just don't know it yet. We don't think it's going on around us, this war, when it clearly is. Matthew 11, I spoke about this the other day, but I think a couple weeks ago, I think it's important. Keep on going on down, Spencer. Go down to about, I think it's verse 12 maybe. There it is. Spoke about this before, but I want to try to plant this in your brain. Would anybody here pay income tax if they weren't forced to? Anybody out there dumb enough to say, yeah, I would? No. Would anybody pay income tax if you weren't forced to? Of course not, right? And it says that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God, heaven has suffered, well, the kingdom of heaven, by the way. It's attack of the dark forces against the kingdom of heaven. It's attack of lying forces against freedom and liberty and truth. That's the battle. There it is. From the days of, because you got to know what the kingdom of God is: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The attack, Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, has been an attack against the kingdom of God: righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost, the Ten Commandments, truth, honesty. That's the attack. It says, from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and violent men take it by force. See, folks, violence means to violate, to do something, claim something, possess something that is not yours. You have violated a person when you do that. And how have they done it? They have done it by force. Force is the multiplier. Force is not violence. No, they're violating you. They're violating us right now with these vaccines and all. And how are they doing it? Somebody tell me, how are they violating the kingdom of heaven? What kind of violence? How are they conducting this violence of jabs and social distancing and closing down your, how are they doing that, friends?
Fear.
Yeah, give me another word.
Threats.
It's right there in verse 12. Can't you read? Force, not violence. Force. Don't take the jab, you lose your job. Don't take the jab, you can't buy food here. You don't take the jab, you can't come in here. You don't buy food, right? You with me? Force. Everything they're doing is by force. Pardon me, I'm going to try to get a cough button. I'm sorry, I keep doing that. So what do you do when people are forcing you to do stuff? I know it doesn't sound very Christian. What does it tell us to do? Why? We have to push back. We have to meet force with force. We've been taught in the church that we're to be nonviolent. See, take violence out of there. Because it's not that we're nonviolent. We're non-force. We're non-force. We're not nonviolent. Because sometimes we're going to have to rise up and be violent. In other words, go take back what belongs to us and take it from those who haven't rightly possessed it. Am I making any sense to anybody but me? Because this is coming out of the depth of my belly. I want you to know that.
And amen.
We've been taught in church, don't meet force with force. You guys ever watch a football game? I'm sure you have. Fourth and 2 inches. What do all 22 players get? 11 on both sides. What do? They all get up to the line of scrimmage as close as they can because they understand that this touchdown or this first down is predicated on nothing more than force. They understand it. Do we understand it? Do we understand the force that's being applied to us? And are we going to stand up and meet it with a force, push back force? Are we going to? Is it Christian to do that? From the days of John the Baptist, now the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and violent take it by force. He said, that, I say unto you, among all the men that were born unto a woman, none is ever greater than John the Baptist. He said, man, that John the Baptist was aggressive. He went, took stuff back. That's my man. But we focus on violence while we're being violated, right? We focus on don't be violent while we're being violated. And how we're being violated? By force. Oh, I'm all over the place, but I feel it deeply. Rochelle, come on in.
Good morning, team. I just wanted to point out about this violence and force difference. They may start out with force, but it ends up in violence. They're getting violent. They're taping masks on children's faces here in the States. They're shooting rubber bullets at people in Australia. They're macing 12-year-olds.
Michelle, I don't want to.
End up in violence.
I don't want to crush your opinion. No, it ends up in force. They use force even when they put the mask on. It's to violate. It's to violate the integrity of the individual. It's force. It's not violence. Folks, we misunderstood that word. Force leads to the other side pushing back. And then we call that violence. But it isn't violence. It's all force. It's all force till you submit. All force till you submit. And then if we begin to fight back, then all of a sudden the guns and the knives come out. And then we have real war taking place. But that's not violence. It's not violence. It's force. Two forces meeting. Force. And they don't want us to have any force. They want us just to lay down and let them roll over us. We have to stand up and push back. Jeff Nell, then Jeff Klein. Sorry, Rochelle. Love you. Didn't mean to be mean.
Great subject, Coach. Great subject. I encounter a lot of people, lukewarm, atheists, stuff like that.
So do
I. And they always say it. They say, don't jam it down people's throats. Do not force it down. Don't force it in suffering.
Yeah. Well, they force it down our throat, right?
Yeah.
Well, they force abortion and homosexuality and transit. They force it down our throat, but we're not supposed to push back. Go ahead, Jeff Klein.
Simple. It's time to run a Christian wedge buster.
We're going to do it, right? That's force. We have to push back. That's the ChristianRevolution.net. Okay, now listen. Let me back up because I got to get some stuff here. Hey, folks. I spoke to Chad yesterday. Come to Sky High. Chad said, Coach, you put the clutch on Sky High. Are you afraid? He was real honest. Are you afraid? No, I'm not afraid. Okay, come on, man. Folks, come to Sky High on the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th. All the information's right there. If you got some hesitation, you don't know if you come on, man. It'll be a great time. We're going to have great weather. We're going to have great fellowship. Doc Jen's going to can you click on that one real quick for me, Spencer, Ohio Preparedness Summit? Yeah. We're going to have some classes. It's not just going to be Bobby Lee teaching us to fight and Chad teaching us to shoot guns. Look here. Doc Jen's going to come and talk to us on biblical health topics. Chad's going to do some health self-defense with a handgun. Bobby Lee, hand-to-hand striking. Gary Donahoe's going to do communications. We're going to learn how to do food prep, storage, canning, how to treat serious injuries. Lori's going to come and work on how to do that. And we're going to have a lot of fellowship where we're going to begin to talk, discuss with one another how we handle these issues that are going on locally. How do you go to a school board meeting? What do you say when you go there? How do you go to accounts? Folks, this is a training fellowship event. We would love for all of you to be there, okay? So I'm sorry. You know, I started, I want 200 there, rather, and I start blowing my horn. I'd still like to have 200. But there are a lot of you that say, golly, he's not pushing it very hard. Maybe his heart's not in it. My heart's in it. I'm going to tell you this. The more the enemy ramps it up, the more my heart's in it. Okay? I'd love for you to be able to join us. Okay? And we did a great video yesterday. I couldn't find it up. Doc Jen joined me yesterday on the Brighteon TV show. And I haven't been able to find it yet. I'll get it posted up there. But that was well done. So, am I forgetting anything out there? Wait a minute. Chad's got a thing going on in Wisconsin, but from what I understand, Chad, is that filled up? Did he get up this morning or is he driving on his way up there already? I don't know.
Yeah, I got about 10 or 12 more we can pack in there. Really need, I'd really like to fill that up if I can.
So if you're up there in the Wisconsin area, as they said on there, the Great Lakes area, get up there and be part of that Preparedness Summit up in Hatley, Wisconsin. Spencer, go back to the full page if you could there for me. All right. And I feel like I'm forgetting something else because Chad's going to go to Hatley. He was in Oklahoma last week. He's going to go to Hatley, Wisconsin this week, and he's coming to Ohio. So this guy's getting around. And then we're going to go to Maine on October. I'll actually be up on the 16th. On the 15th, I'll be in New Hampshire, raising hell in New Hampshire. So we got a lot going on, man. It's all good.
Anybody? Hey, Coach, can I jump in here ahead real quick? I need to promote this thing at the end of the month in October. I'm sorry, everybody. I jumped ahead. I got it.
Go ahead, Bobby. It's only you and Jack McCarthy. Jack jumps in all the time anyway.
Listen, this thing at the end of the month of October is going to be really good. Russ Dizdar is coming out here. Tom Dunn's going to come out here. We're going to target all Hell's Weekend on All Hallows Eve. So satanic ritual abuse. Reggie's coming out. So another person's going to come out and be talking about human trafficking.
Bobby, you just upped your game on this event, right?
Yes.
Before it was just going to Gettysburg, which isn't something we all do. But you just upped the game on us now. You listening to this, folks? Russ Dizdar, Tom Dunn, Reggie, going to talk about spiritual warfare over Halloween. Wow. More, Bobby, give me more information on that.
Yeah, it's going to be a big, huge deal, all right? I'm going to spend a lot of time working on it on Wednesday, getting flyers out, information. We're going to start hitting the churches around here. We're going to reach out to Pastor Ben to reach out to his pastoral network. 300 people packs that venue. We want that venue packed. So we got 4 weeks. We need to start getting the word out and letting people know that we're going to bust Hell's Weekend open with information on who and what they really are. One last thing. I talked to a couple of people yesterday. I really want to talk about the human and child trafficking, satanic ritual abuse taking place in every community in America, and nobody knows about it, and people don't want to act like it exists. The biggest human trafficking operation taking place in human history right now on the southern border, and it means nothing to people.
That doesn't. We don't know, Bobby. That's why we don't. You know, people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And what is it, Chad Estes says? People don't care about nice mailboxes till it's their mailbox. It hadn't hit home close enough to us. All right, Bobby, let's keep pushing that. That's Russ Dizdar's coming. Wow, Tom Dunn. Man, you got your crew there. That just changed that whole thing, man. Jack, come on in.
Well, I'd like to go to all these things, but I have to ask permission from the government to get on an airplane. I have to ask permission from the government to use their roads. And so I'm not allowed to travel because I don't have a government permission slip.
That's so right.
I guess maybe we got to fight back a different way, maybe?
Well, maybe a different way, Jack. Because Jack, we're already at war. Right? We're already at war.
So what are they going to do, shoot me for traveling without a permission slip?
Wow.
I don't know. Are they going to shoot me? Maybe.
So, folks, let me piggyback on something we spoke about yesterday, and then I got so much I want to share. Lord, direct me here. About the Hegelian dialectic. I didn't feel like I did a great job of explaining that yesterday, but boy, I got a lot of thumbs up from people who are not aware of it, didn't have any idea, now see clearly what's going on. Now, friends, listen to me. The next move, I love you. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not trying to scare you. The next move in the Hegelian dialectic. Remember what the Hegelian dialectic is? The government creates a problem, and then they offer a solution, and then they reach a compromise. That's the Hegelian dialectic. Now, this is all about the vaccine and whether you want to know it or not, believe it or not, it's about the reduction of the population in the world. We know that's biblical, right? So they can't get us with a vaccine. So what's going to be the next problem that they're creating, and we see it already? Food shortage. Food shortage. I'll say it again. Shortages of food. Friends, we have another food shortage on the horizon. Remember what it was like in COVID 2 years ago when everybody went and took all the toilet paper? Don't worry about the toilet paper. Go worry about food, water, medicines. Stockpile now, because why? The Hegelian dialectic, they're going to create a problem, food shortage, and then the solution is going to be everybody fall in line and come into the government, get food, and the compromise will going to be, no, we won't do that. We're just going to feed the vaccinated. We'll just feed the vaccinated. That'll be the compromise. It's coming as sure as I'm sitting here. I'm warning you, there's a food shortage coming, okay? It's the next attempt at the Hegelian dialectic. Go ahead, Larry, then Luann, then Kevin, then Mark. Go.
Yeah, your Hegelian dialectic, I think what you covered today can help us define it and make it easier for people to understand. It is nothing but incremental force.
Incremental force. Larry, I'm going to steal that. That's what it is. Force incrementally. Keep pushing against the wall. Take a shot. Take a jab. 6 foot, right? See what's going on? Now it's going to be food. Now we're going to be out of food. Why? Because all of those, all you got to do is look on the news and you see all those ships out to sea or out in the harbors that can't get in. The food is sitting on barges out in the ocean and it can't get in to get unloaded. It's everywhere. All you got to look and see. They are creating a food shortage. Go ahead, Luann, then Kevin, then Mark.
Yeah, I've got some people woke up yesterday. I went to the place called, Senior Life. And I started talking about what was going on. And they were interested. They may be in the room today. I don't know if they are or not, but anyway. And then I met a 17-year veteran yesterday at the place that brought me to the place. Anyway, they all know what's going on. All right, they were in here with us.
Well, let's keep waking them up, Luann.
Yeah.
Kevin, come on in.
Yeah, I just want to make a quick correction to the Hegelian dialectic. It's a three-part system, problem, reaction, solution. They cause the problem, then they stage the reaction, then they come in the end as the savior with the solution.
Amen. All right. Thanks, Kevin. Mark Trump.
The food. What's going to happen next? Why is Bill Gates investing in synthetic beef? So he's clearing the farmland and he's investing in synthetic beef. So the next move, the compromise, coach, is us to eat synthetic food. Veggie burgers.
Synthetic food. Wow. Hey, that's why Karen Donahoe is going to teach us how to can. That'd be a good thing probably for us to learn. But right now, I think, friends, listen. Right now, you are about 2 weeks ahead of everybody else. I'm telling you right now, a food shortage is coming. Go get some food, all right? Please go get some food. Don't call me in 3 weeks and say, Coach, I'm out of food. Please don't do that to me. Please, okay? Cool. I want to shift gears. I got two things. Here's what we're up against. Go to Job 41. You guys ever heard of Leviathan? Have you ever heard of Leviathan? I've been wanting to share this. I got so much good stuff to give you today. Is silver in here? Now, Leviathan, the idea behind Leviathan, and maybe somebody in here is more prepared than me than to say this. Leviathan is, for the most part, a huge snake. Large dragon type animal, right? Well, clearly that's a characterization of a serpent, isn't it? Larry, would you agree with that? That Leviathan would be some type of reptile, right? So this is King James. We really ought to read 40, but I don't have time to do that. But I want you to see what Book of Job tells us about Leviathan. It says, can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? Or his tongue with a cord, which you let down? It says, can you catch this thing like just any old fish? It says, can you put a hook in his nose or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make supplication? Is this snake going to make supplications unto you? Will he speak soft words unto you? The serpent we're talking about, friends. Will the devil make a covenant with you? Because I think Leviathan represents the devil, okay? So I'm going to put the devil on there. Will the devil make a covenant with you? Will you take him for his servant forever? Will you play with him as a bird? Talking about the devil. Will you bind him for the sake of your maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet with him? Shall they part him amongst the merchants? So they just invite him in, let old Leviathan just come in here and just be like one of us. Can you fill his skin with barbed irons or his head with fish spears? Lay thy hand upon him and remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? Talking about the devil, Leviathan, this mass evil that's spreading everywhere. None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? He says, who has kept me from smacking this dude in the mouth? Whosoever is under the whole heaven is mine. So when they tell you that render unto Caesar, unto Caesar, render unto God that which is God's. Larry, tell them to go right there, verse 11. Job 41:11. Whosoever is under the whole heaven is mine. God owns it all. Federal government doesn't own a penny. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Evidently, Leviathan doesn't come looking like a snake. I thought about over here at Lost Lands, that dinosaurs. Wow. Who can discover the face of his garment? Or who can come to him with his double bridle. Says, you ain't going to harness this dude. Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible roundabout. His scales are his pride. Shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. Have you ever noticed how the left never fights the left? You ever noticed that? You ever notice how the right's constantly picking at each other? You're not doing it the right way. You shouldn't use the abortion signs. You shouldn't speak. The right is always attacking the right. And he says right here, man, these guys, they have got their, they got their gills, their scales so tightly together. Oh, they can't even be sundered. You can't get in there. By his kneesling, a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. And out of his mouth go burning lamps. Sparks of fire leap out. Talking about the devil. Out of his nostrils go smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and the flame goes out of his mouth. In his neck, the devil's neck, remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone. Cold as stone, I would say. And as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raiseth up, the mighty are afraid. By reasons of breakings, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold the spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw, brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laughs at the shaking spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is none like Leviathan, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all things. He is king over all the children of pride. That's what we're dealing with. Come on in, Reggie.
Yeah, Coach, I don't want to take a lot of time, but I wanted to back up what you just read because that's the biblical definition. But Nagash of the Church of Lucifer, they have four principles. Leviathan, if you may, if I may read it real quick. It's not too long.
Sure.
So Leviathan, this is the Leviathan principle. So the four principles are Satan, Lucifer, Leviathan, and Belial.
Say it again.
Satan. Four principles, Satan, Lucifer, Leviathan, and Belial. This is from the Church of Lucifer. So Leviathan's number is three, three being the number of chaos, as three can go into six and nine, but doesn't have the stability of the number one. Remember the 333 I was trying to tell you about?
Mm-hmm.
Leviathan's color is blue, blue being the color of the wild oceans untamed, woman's carnal side of overcoming him, her chaos. Leviathan's element is water, water being that which our human forms are primarily created of. This represents the unity of matter and antimatter, chaos and order.
Say that again, Reggie, because we're like 80% water, right? Human beings are like 80% water. Say that again.
Okay, so Leviathan's element is water, water being that which our human forms are primarily created of. This represents the unity of matter and antimatter, chaos and order, yin with yang.
In other words, putting some cake mix and putting water into it creates a substance, doesn't it?
Leviathan's direction is west, west being used to represent chaos and disorder. Leviathan's human element is chaos. Chaos meaning manifestation of order from the chaos of the nothing, no longer controlling one's actions, words, etc. Not remembering fragments of time due to anger or lust are prime examples of this principle. I'm almost done. Leviathan's altar element is water. used in the chalice as a sacrament to or as Leviathan.
Leviathan's
planet is man or microcosm, representing the bond between man and his own natural self. Leviathan's highest manifestation comes from man realizing his own deification. Just as God can create and destroy, so can we. Just as water is unpredictable and can be calm one moment and crashing another, so are we. That's the gift of or from Leviathan.
So that's who we're fighting against, folks. Leviathan. By the way, at the center of Leviathan is pride. I was doing some research this morning on, again, the Russell Brand thing. I'll get that out to all of you. It was really, really powerful. The people, that's our greatest opponent, friends, is pride. Our greatest foe is pride, within and without. It's the toughest thing to break. And pride cometh before a fall. So we know that it's all going to go down. So I want to try to go ahead, Alan. Come on in there real quickly before I shift gears on
this. Hey, Coach, I was just going to say two things come to my mind when you read what you just read right there. It's, if I think about Godzilla when you think about it in the natural, but when you read Revelation 13:1, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, that radical, wicked, satanic government that we're dealing with.
That's what
everyone
it is.
Everyone in the world's dealing with that.
Amen. They have seized control of it. Okay. Now look, I like to shift gears. I want to leave you with something tangible. Not that this hasn't been tangible, but it's tangible. Okay. Spencer, pull up 30 facts. I got to read these fast. I'll put them in the chat for you. 30 facts you need to know about COVID. Okay. Quickly get them up on the screen. Number one. Now, friends, I'm not going to read everything underneath it. Okay. 30 facts. See, there's no reason why we're losing this battle. Truth is on our side. What did I start out talking about? Truth. Why do we need truth? Because truth protects. Truth protects, right? So here we are. 30 of them, I think. Isn't that what it is? 30 facts about COVID. Number one, the survival rate of COVID is over 99%. Did you know that? 99% of people who get COVID survive. Number two, there has been no unusual excess mortality. Folks, people aren't dying any more than they normally die. There's the rate right there before you. Number three, you can go back later and look at all these. COVID death counts are artificially inflated. We know without a doubt people are dying with COVID, not from COVID. You understand it? They are making up the numbers. Number four, the vast majority of COVID deaths have serious comorbidities. I saw a statistic, not in this one, 75% of those who are dying from COVID are overweight. 75% of those dying with COVID are overweight. Folks, get your body in shape. Number five, average age of COVID death is greater than the average life expectancy. Do you get that? Do you get that? The average age of COVID death, in other words, there it is. The average, stay right there a second, Spencer, I'm sorry. The average age of a COVID death in the UK is 82 and a half years. Did you know that? In Italy, it's 86. Germany, it's 83. Switzerland, 86. Canada, 86. United States, the average COVID death is 78 years old. Oh, my goodness. It's number six. COVID mortality, by the way, that's why they're trying to scare all of us old people, isn't it? We got all the money. Hey! I'm just telling you the truth. We old folks got all the money, don't we? And not only that, we old folks are sucking all that Social Security out of the system too. They got to get rid of us old folks. COVID mortality exactly mirrors the natural mortality curve. There it is. There's the curve, the COVID curve and the natural curve. It's normal. Chances of dying from COVID versus normal annual risk are the same. Number seven, there's been a massive increase in the use of unlawful DNRs. What's a DNR? Do not resuscitate. So parents are finding out, I hate to tell you this, parents got their grandma and grandpa in nursing homes, and they ask them in the nursing home, what happens if grandpa gets sick? Do not resuscitate. Massive increase in the use of these all across America. Okay, facts on lockdowns. Number 8, but lockdowns. Lockdowns do not prevent the spread of disease. Period. Period. Lockdowns don't spread it. The only lockdown would be good is if you locked down somebody that was sick. You quarantine them. 9, there's the charts. Number 9, lockdowns kill people. There's strong evidence that lockdowns through socioeconomic public health damage are deadlier than the virus. Number 10, hospitals were never unusually overburdened. They never were. It was all a lie. All a lie. Never, never, never. Number 11, you can read it all yourself later. What about the PCR tests? PCR tests were not designed to diagnose illness, specifically COVID. That thing they cram up your nose, it wasn't designed to figure out whether or not you had COVID or not. PCR is just a process that allows you to make a whole lot of something out of something. It doesn't tell you that you're sick or that the thing that you ended up with was going to hurt you or anything like that. PCR tests are fake. What's a PCR test? Think, cram up your nose, see if you have COVID. They're fake. They don't show you anything. PCR test number 12 have a history of being inaccurate and unreliable. What? Yeah. Yeah. We can read more of it. Read and weep. Number 13. The CT values of the PCR test are too high, meaning PCR tests are running cycles. The number of cycles that you should use to get your result is known as a cycle threshold. If you have to go to more than 40 cycles, it's no good. Well, what do you know? You have to go to 40 cycles. And they cram something up your nose and tell you you got something you don't even know you have. 14, the World Health Organization twice admitted that the PCR tests produce false positives. See the girls on The View? They were going to have old camel toes on there, and two of them tested positive for it, and they couldn't do the interview with camel toes, Kamala Harris. But they did anyway because they declared they were false positives. So they can have false positives when they want to. You can't have any. If you got a cough, you got COVID. The scientific basis for COVID tests is questionable. Even if the tests they use were accurate, the science behind it's questionable. 16, running out of time. Okay, the asymptomatic infection. These are asymptomatic means you don't have it, but you got it. They used to call that a carrier, right? Majority of COVID infections are asymptomatic. In other words, the majority of people who get COVID don't have any symptoms. They just tell you you got it. Number 17, there's very little evidence supporting the alleged danger of asymptomatic transmission. If you don't have signs, symptoms, you ain't got it. You can't spread it. 18, ventilators. Ventilator is not a treatment for respiratory viruses, period. Ventilators do not cure any disease. They can fill your lungs with air when you find yourself unable to do so yourself. They're associated with lung diseases in the public's consciousness, but this is not, in fact, the most common or most appropriate application. Hey, COVID is a lung disorder. 19, ventilators killed people. Huh? Yeah, ventilators killed people. Remember when they said, yo, we got to buy ventilators. Buy ventilators. 20, keep going. You can look at it later. Masks. Masks don't work, number 20. They don't work, period. Masks don't work. There's a chart showing it. Masks are bad for your health. Wearing a mask for long periods. Well, there it is. There's the facts. 22, masks are bad for the planet. Millions upon millions of disposable masks. I see them everywhere. I drive down the road, just masks laying everywhere. 23, vaccines. Oh, boy. COVID vaccines are totally unprecedented. Never before anything like it has ever been done. We are test animals. Number 24, vaccines do not confer immunity or prevent transmissions. Everything they're telling us about the vaccine, it doesn't do. Everything. It doesn't prevent you from getting it, nor does it prevent you from giving it to somebody else. Nothing. The vaccines were rushed and have unknown long-term effects, which we're finding out more and more. We won't find them for many years. 25, 26, vaccine manufacturers have been granted immunity. You can't sue them. You can't sue them, so they can poison you because you can't sue them. Right? Keep going. Deception and foreknowledge. 27, the EU has prepared a vaccine passport for at least a year before the pandemic began. You can read it on your own, put it in the chat. 28, a training exercise predicted the pandemic just weeks before it started. They were doing a training exercise to prepare. It was a training exercise on how to handle COVID just weeks before it came out. 29, since the beginning of 2020, the flu has disappeared. Huh? There it is on the chart. There ain't no flu anymore.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, no flu. The elite have made fortunes during the pandemic. Since the beginning of the lockdown, the wealthiest people have become significantly wealthier. Forbes reported that 40 new billionaires have been created in the middle of coronavirus, with 9 of them being vaccine manufacturers. Meanwhile, small businesses are going out of business. Hey, Larry, thesis, problem, solution, compromise. Been going on for 2 years. And we still don't see it for what it is. All right, somebody help me wrap this thing up. Said, Coach, that's good information today. I know this. Go ahead, Larry.
Is it okay if I change subjects and talk a little bit about that force thing as it pertains to my house situation?
Yes.
I went to the FBI with my case yesterday. You know what the FBI told me? The guy actually told me this. He says, it looks like you have pretty much enough open and shut case here. He says, but the dollar amount is not enough. It doesn't meet our threshold. We can't take it.
redress of grievances, right? I don't really have a cough. I don't know what's going on today. Say, Coach, you cough all the time. Larry, it's the same thing when we took those affidavits regarding Hillary. None of the three people we took about would do anything about it. That's our problem. See, folks, we're already at war, aren't we? They're going to force us to respond. That's what they want to do. Rochelle.
Hey, just a little, if anybody wants, that was great what Reggie went over with Leviathan, Behemoth type things. But if anybody wants more on that, in Enoch chapter 58.
Wait a minute, that's not in the Bible.
It was in Jesus's Bible.
All right.
But it also talks about in that day shall be two monsters who became separated, a female monster named Leviathan, dwelling in the depths of the sea above the springs of waters, and a male monster whose name is Behemoth. And it goes on and explains more about them. And it actually kind of fit a little bit to what Reggie was saying. I mean, they take their twist on everything, but it's just very interesting. Enoch chapter 58 is where it talks about this.
Enoch 58. Thanks, Rochelle. Joe Allen, come on in, Craig.
Well, look at our wonderful FBI. You got 14 years under this doctor under the Olympics. Hundreds of women assaulted, and they hid it for 14 years.
Right. Look at Comey and Hillary. Look at Comey and Hillary. Come on, Craig, come on in.
Okay. Don't read a definition. A group of words established, this is idiom, by the usage of habit of meaning not deductible from those individual words. So let's talk about this word seed. Let's go to the beginning of the book. On the first day, God made light. But it doesn't say he made dark light. He said he separated the light. So in other words, that was the thing that happened where there was a disturbance in the heavens. So it doesn't say God created darkness. It says he separated light. Then on day two, it says he separated the waters. It says, let it be. Let's divide the waters from the waters. Mm. We see sea, we think oceans. What God, I believe, is telling us here is he separated good from evil, from the rebellion that went on there. Okay. Mm. So when we start thinking about sea, so I remember reading one time in the Bible here at the very end, the Bible's bookends. If you look at it, it's a big first mention, and then you go to the back of the book. And then when you go to the back of the book, you go to Revelation 21 and says, there shall be no more sea. So that kind of distressed my wife because she likes the oceans. But the sea is an idiom for the separation of evil. That's why if you go a few verses earlier in Revelation 20, verse 13 says the sea gave up the dead. Was that ships, people died? They just floated down to the bottom? No, the sea is an idiom for this beast that comes out of the sea, the separation that God did from good and evil, the fighting of the heavenly host and the watchers. This is what we are. We're up against this. And it says, it gave up the dead that were in it. Well, could that be Sheol? Because then it goes on and says, death and Hades delivered up the dead also.
Daggone it. I hate it when guys like you who read the Bible way too much come on right at the end of the show. We'll have to pick up on that tomorrow. God bless you, folks. Leviathan is hard at work. We'll see you tomorrow.